You're listening to Trek Radio, and this is the post-Dragon Con recap. And now, here's Ryza and Mighty Mundane.
Welcome back, everybody, and this is our convention wrap-up for Dragon Con 2017. According to all reports, record attendance of more than 80,000 fans attended the 4.5-day event, and it was definitely a place to see and be seen by a wide variety of cosplayers. In fact, our very own Mighty Mundane was there at Dragon Con. Mighty? Well,
I was on scene at Dragon Con, and the amount of cosplay was staggering, but the quality of the cosplay was absolutely staggering. Some of the day one highlights are Captain America Werewolf. You've got Spider-Man. You've got an Iron Man suit, Zoltar the Magnificent. And one really great one of note, a Star Trek cosplay, was Andorian Colonel Sanders.
Oh, I saw that. You tweeted it.
Oh, my
or
God.
I should say we tweeted it.
He walks up to me in full Andorian and Colonel Sanders garb. An Andorian Colonel, exactly what it sounds like, an Andorian Colonel Sanders with a giant bucket of blue fried chicken.
Ooh. how do you get the fried chicken blue?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
I don't think I want that recipe.
I don't want to know. No. But here's the thing. It's obviously it's probably foam or something, but it looked.
You hope it's foam.
It looked real. It looked real enough. Is all I can say.
He points to his bucket and go. I started this cosplay a year ago.
All I can say is that I hope he shows up again, and like I'm going to like bring blue fried chicken. I'm gonna get food coloring and we're gonna make this a thing. Blue fried chicken.
No.
Oh.
KFC, don't listen.
KFC, listen. Spock Vegas was also on scene. He did Klingon karaoke, so we had some of our classic Trek cosplayers. Besides
that, I believe we have some live video of Paul as Spock Vegas. Yes, so we'll embed that in an article on the website for you to watch the live video.
Oh yeah, we had Spock Vegas there. We also had a Bob Ross cosplayer painting landscapes at the Hyatt Atlanta, which was great. Like twisted Santa Claus, guys in a suit of armor, one of the most realistic Master Chiefs I've ever seen. Deadpools, the Emperor, Planet of the Apes. It just goes on. Oh. But what really stole the show, I believe, those first couple of days was the crew from Independence Day walking around with an alien body. You had
like the aliens we saw in the movie.
Yeah, you had Will Smith. Well, no, it was the sack. They were dragging around the sack. You had Dr.
Oh, gotcha,
Oaken.
Gotcha.
You had Will Smith's character. You had Russell Case, that character. Ash versus Evil Dead, the Stonecutters. But yeah.
I have a question for you, though, because all year on Trek Radio, we've been talking and covering conventions and events and talking about the tighter security and the change in rules in terms of weaponry for cosplay. Did you see any changes at Dragon Con when it comes to costume weapons?
I can say with certainty that... things that were fairly real looking were being checked. But most of the time, anything that was obviously not a weapon, they were not bothering people, but, their security was more proactive as opposed to, their security was more proactive. So what they were doing is they were surveying. As opposed to doing like the tight checkpoints, they would go and they would look, like they were patrolling and they were doing kind of like, I don't know if you've ever, it kind of like Israeli airport security versus American airport security, that kind of a thing.
No, I've I've never observed Israeli airport security.
It's
so I have no idea.
It's less of a checkpoint system and more of a, and while there were checkpoints and things like that, it's more of a, you know, they're inspecting you as you're coming in and they're inspecting you all through the way. And then you're being looked at because there's high police presence on the street as well. Because it is so big that there's no way to really make the kind of like checkpoint system work in a convention that large. You just can't. So they do the other method.
Because DragonCon is different than some conventions that the radio station has attended in terms of them being confined to just a single space or hotel area. It's a lot like San Diego Comic-Con. That it's kind of spread out all over the city, right?
We're talking about five host hotels and the mall complex, which consists of two buildings. And all the streets surrounding that have extra stuff on top of that. And the hotels you've got five large, I think I have it here. You've got the Hyatt Regency, you have the Hilton Atlanta, Atlanta Marriott, the Sheraton, and the Westin Peachtree. And of those, only the Peachtree is separated. The rest of them are connected by sky bridges. So it's this giant, event that is, it's almost like, I felt like I was on the, to give you a Star Trek tie-in, I felt like I was on the deck of a starship. Going from deck to deck, you know, and riding the turbo lifts and going across sky bridges. I felt like I was on JJ's Trek. You know, you ever see that, the scene in Inter Darkness where they show, they've shown it in a couple of the JJ Trek movies where you walk through and you see the multiple floors and you see the, on the Enterprise.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about, where Simon Pegg's character is running down the hallway and it's just this super long hallway. It takes forever.
Well, I mean, it's like
that
too.
I thought that's what you were referencing.
It is like that too when it's really crowded, but during peak time. But at least across the sky bridges.
Damn it, Captain!
But
the convention is too large.
It really is. It's huge.
That was really bad. Sorry.
I was just gonna ignore it and move on.
Right? You're like, all right, we're just gonna pretend that didn't happen. Speaking of bad behavior. We'll use it as a transition. This will be good. Speaking of bad behavior, I've heard that the daytime convention is very different than what happens in the nighttime after the sun goes down.
Well, you could say it was a tale of two Dragon Cons. Oh. There's daylight, and then there's Dragon Con after dark. And Dragon Con is kind of like a Comic Con environment during the day. But then at night, it becomes this giant five hotel size. I can only liken it to.
Keep it PG. Keep it PG. We're on radio.
Carnival or Mardi Gras.
Ah.
Something like that. And then you do have panels at night, too, up until like 2-3 in the morning, too.
Oh, God, really?
Oh, yeah. No, the panels run. In fact, they're. I'm gonna give you an example. Dragon Con's late night show, their late night show, that they broadcast, is at 8 o'clock in the morning. Let that sink in for a minute.
Well, no, I've been to other conventions where stuff happens at 8 a.m. in the morning.
No, but I mean,
the latest panel, like formal panel I've ever been to, was at 8 p.m.
No,
usually after 8 p.m. whatever's going on late at night is a party or, you know, a costume contest or something that's sort of after hours related. It's not a panel.
The panels are almost 24/7. I mean, you have the celebrity panels, which end like towards the early evening, right? But then you have other kinds of panels, fan panels and different things that go on in the convention center throughout the night. You've got, oh my God, so many different things. And then you have screenings of things. Unbelievable, for example, screened at Dragon Con twice. They did a preview, screening.
Nice.
Yeah. I can't talk about it because it's not out yet. but.
Well, we've talked about Unbelievable several times.
We have.
We were interviewing the producers, and that's on our Trek Radio On Demand. You're a VIP member.
If they come to your local con, go and check out the sneak preview of Unbelievable. But I couldn't possibly comment.
Well, to go back to some of the daytime activities, things we can comment on is the legendary Stan Lee served as Grand Marshal to the parade on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And during the parade, Stan rode on a red convertible through all the crowds.
He was 93. I'm not sure if he's had a birthday. But he's up there.
No, I think he did. I think you were right when you said he was 94.
Yeah.
He's still, and I know it was kind of last year where he had announced that he was retiring from the convention circuit, but you still see him popping up here and there.
I think he's retiring from the heavy touring, but he still has a few conventions that he shows up to, that he wants to go to, that he will go to.
It's almost like his very own cameo. He flies in, does the parade.
Oh man, Stan Lee,
the man.
Stan Lee is like the comic book author version of Monty Python's Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects Stan Lee, and there he is.
He's amazing.
He is amazing.
I still use one of his quotes that I heard when he was doing panels regularly. I heard him say that people ask him, you know, what superpower would you want to have? And his answer was like the best answer I've ever heard. That's why it stuck with me. He wanted luck, the power of luck. And they're like, wait a minute, you don't want to fly? You don't want to... He's like, no, because if you're lucky, that kind of helps with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh, that's like one of the best superpowers. And it can only come from somebody like him that makes it sound good. Yeah. Not to be outdone, John Heder from Napoleon Dynamite. He helped MC the Dragon Con costume competition also on Saturday at the Georgia Aquarium.
Yeah. There's a number of different costume competitions, and there was, of course...
Oh, there's more than one?
I believe there's two. There might be more because that schedule is very full in different places, and it's very large. But I know that there's at least two, and... It gets ridiculous. And technically, there's the Miss Star Trek Universe pageant, which Garrett Wong hosted. And that, I guess, kind of counts as a costume contest.
Yeah, well, it's a Star Trek Universe, so I'm assuming that means...
It's a Star Trek costume contest.
Well, I'm assuming that means they want you coming dressed as aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Can Andorian Colonel Sanders enter?
I have no idea.
That would be funny.
Yeah. I think it was ladies only.
He pulls some chicken out of the bucket and goes, like my legs.
Mrs. Sanders can enter.
There you go. Oh, is it female only?
Yeah, yeah.
What if there are alien species that are non-gendered?
What was that line from Futurama? There it is. Miss Universe.
There it is. Okay, yeah. I get it. That's scary.
Oh, yeah. There are so many different events and the costume competitions for different categories. I think there's more than two because I think there might have been a Star Wars one as well. Don't quote me on that. Don't quote me on that because it's all a blur. But there were a lot of different contests and events that were that kind of vein. And interestingly enough, Dragon Con does something very unique. Dragon Con does a track system. So there's the Star Wars track and the costuming track and the Star Trek track. And Dragon Con, it's almost like you're a Padawan in that track. There's the fiction track, the adult like fan fiction, like raunchy track too. Like there's all kinds of stuff.
Erotic fiction.
There's family based stuff. There's stuff that's like on that side of it. But basically, all of these different like disciplines. It's almost like Comic-Con Academy. And Garrett Wong.
Well, and you mentioned, yeah, you mentioned the Trek track. In addition to the Miss Universe or Miss Star Trek Universe pageant, Garrett Wong hosts the Trek track as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was one of two or three hosts that were dedicated to the Trek track and hosted a lot of the different panels there. And Garrett, you know, you had all the guests from TNG and from the different shows. William Shatner was there as well. And Garrett was hosting those panels. And Garrett is a trip. One thing that Garrett shared, and I don't know if this story has been shared at any other convention, is the tomato soup story.
What is the tomato soup story?
The tomato soup story. Oh, it's exactly what it sounds like.
I don't know what it sounds like. That's why I'm like, okay, I don't know. Should I ask? Is it safe for work?
Garrett was very young and very inexperienced when he started Star Trek Voyager. When they were shooting the DS9 scenes, which were supposedly the first scenes that they shot, everything was fine. But as soon as he got onto that Voyager, it wasn't the mess hall like where Neelix was. It was the pilot mess hall where you had all the replicators and things like that. So it was kind of claustrophobic in that sense. And Garrett was very nervous. And the two actors that were only there for the pilot, Cabot and I think the security chief or something, all the officers that were there at the table with Garrett, none of them lived. Garrett was the only one who lived, and that's debatable. Or rather, Garrett's character is the only one who lived, and that's debatable because technically Harry Kim dies. But yeah, where was I? Yes. So some of those actors had, I think one or two of those actors had like a lot of improv experience. And so they helped him doing a improv scene where they used the script where Tom Paris is ordering tomato soup and having problems with the replicator. And they improvised a whole scene where they're telling Harry Kim that Tom Paris is bad news and that he shouldn't get involved with that guy, and he says, we know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to come in here and he's going to order tomato soup, right? All right. Now he's going to have problems with the replicator, okay? And then he had problems with the replicator. And once you see that scene, having heard this story, and I hope he tells it again. Once you see that scene, I went and watched that scene.
Oh, I'm sure
again.
He will.
And I couldn't watch that scene without just dying laughing. Because they basically, you can actually see them doing that improv scene, and he's gonna order hot tomato soup, and they got Garrett Wong through that scene, and that was at the I forget which panel that was. I think that was at one of the TNG panels.
Well, you also covered. I remember seeing you tweet out. A panel on the Artemis Bridge Simulator.
Yes, the Artemis Bridge Simulator.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The Artemis Bridge Simulator was actually on deck over at DragonCon. They were at the Westin, and they had their bridge set up, all ready to go. And it was basically you could play the game. In kind of a Star Trek bridge crew style environment, but you're actually there. And
so is it virtual reality?
No. It was the bridge crew game set up. They've made a lot of improvements to the game since the last time I played it. When I first played it, it was very basic. It was very basic when I first played it. I think it was in alpha or something when we first got a hold of it. When they were just putting it out for people to check out. Now it's full 3D. It's got an interface. It's got a very stylized look. And
well,
it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
You and your friends can each play a different
position
on the bridge, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That would be cool.
Yeah. They basically made 45-minute mission sessions. And it was everybody's goal not to die. Yeah.
Right.
Not everybody
life
won.
Lesson.
Life lesson. Life lesson. Don't die. It's kind of important.
Captain's orders.
Mm-hmm. Aye, aye.
Well, to round up our convention report for DragonCon 2017, I want to end with a positive note on something that cosplayers and convention goers are doing every single year in order to give back to the community. And that is, at least since 2002, DragonCon has been hosting a Pay It Forward blood drive. It's been an annual event at DragonCon since 2002. And this year, they saw their 25,000th donor. And just in 2017, they had some 3,000 donors contribute nearly 6,000 units of blood and blood products, with the milestone donor of the 25,000th donor happening on Thursday night. Oh, so right at the beginning of the convention, they hit that milestone, which is pretty awesome. And it says that the annual blood drive currently ranks as the largest convention-based blood drive and benefits LifeSouth, which serves more than 40 hospitals in the Atlanta area and 110 hospitals in the Southeast. Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
They're finding a way to give back at DragonCon.
It was an amazing event, and I hope to cover it again. It was a very interesting experience. And you guys can check out all of the event coverage on the website and, of course, on Twitter. Some of the different places that we have it. Go check that out. You can also see some of the cosplay that we've posted from some of the different people that showed up to Dragon Con. It staggers the mind, the quality level of some of these works of art, wearable works of art. That does it for us, ladies and gentlemen, and variations thereof, denizens of the cosmos. We will see you next time. This has been the Trek Radio Dragon Con Convention Wrap-Up.